He made a practical application of those principles to everyday life. He was authentic. He was passionate in his convictions. He demonstrated a personal interest in members of the congregation. Now, some of you are a little older than me. Some of you are not. And you've probably heard different preachers. Did they fit the bill with most of these? Were they principled? Did they teach principles of Scripture? Did they make practical applications that we could live with? Were they enthusiastic and authentic? Were they passionate? And did they demonstrate personal interest in the members of the church? I've heard several, and I think they, for me, Larry is one of these. We're glad to have him here. Many preachers who get in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday are preaching false doctrine, which will lead the members into everlasting destruction. Somebody read for me Matthew 7, 13 through 23. Matthew 7, 13 through 23. Also, if you have any comments, please speak up, or it might be a short lesson. Matthew 7, 13 through 23. Down to 23. Okay. So these verses tell us there's a narrow gate that leads to heaven, but we have a wide gate out there that many are going to go by. And the preacher has a lot of influence on people as he's preaching, doesn't he? So if he's preaching the wrong doctrine, he's leading these people into the wide gate that leads to everlasting destruction. Are preachers judged at a higher standard? Yes, how do we know that? Where does it say that? You know, Bill? Let's look at James 3:1. James 3:1 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Talking about preachers, evangelists, people are watching how they talk to see if it matches how they walk, don't they? People try to elevate the preacher above what's proper, though, a lot of times. Many times a congregation without elders look to the preacher to guide them. But you know what? That's not the job of the preacher. That's the job of the elders. What's the work of an evangelist? So is a preacher a pastor? Is a preacher a pastor? Only if he's going to be an elder. You're correct. So if he were just a preacher, an evangelist, he would not be a pastor, would he? That is what the elders are. Two different roles and the church that God set up. Pastors need to be seen. Yes. Right. What's that? Personally, I haven't been in a congregation where they are. Well, as elders, we work under each other's oversight too, though, do we not? Well, I can't say that I prefer it, but if there's no other option, if you're not going to have an eldership whatsoever, I would say okay. But sometimes that doesn't work out real well either. I understand that very well too. Like I say, pastors, elders need to be interacting with the flocks at assemblies, funerals, members' homes, or wherever they can be with the local flock. Larry spoke about the role of the elders a couple weeks ago, so we pretty much have that down, right? But the man who finds himself at center stage of the church life is an important factor in whether or not the local church will grow and succeed. Neil Pollard, whose book we're using in this class, thinks that the preacher or evangelist should read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus every week to review the work of an evangelist. How many times has the congregation been demolished by a preacher of poor quality or shoddy ethics? How many mediocre churches have been helped and spurred on to greatness by hard-working, well-trained evangelists? Let's consider a few reasons why the local evangelist is the key to building up a local congregation. Preacher is the source. In most congregations, the preacher delivers at least 2 sermons every Sunday, or at least every week, and teaches at least 2 Bible classes, normally an adult class in the auditorium. And again, this is true with Larry. He does the same thing. The fruits of a study provide the number one source of biblical information the average Christian receives outside of his or her personal study. So he must take heed to what he says to Timothy. For instance, 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So that's a grave charge to make sure that the preacher preaches what the truth is. He's saving himself and those who hear him. Neil Pollard, who's, yes. Well, unfortunately, that's other denominations, isn't it? Sure. Yeah, our minister is one of the key roles in our congregation, isn't he? Going back to Neil Pollard, he gives several words of wisdom for a preacher. First, he says, do not state opinions as facts. Good idea. As long as they're harmless, you can state opinions. It's certainly all right to state facts. However, you should never represent one for the other. Preachers who press others to accept their opinions as facts divide congregations. Number 2, do not preach without adequate preparation. Have you ever heard a preacher winging it from the pulpit? Unfortunately, you can tell when someone does this. Preaching takes time, it takes study, and it takes practice. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study so thou shalt approve. The worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what a preacher and all of us need to do, not just the preacher. Number three, he says an evangelist needs to present balanced sermons. Good idea. Rebuke and exhort sermons. Comfort and convict sermons. Hard and soft sermons. An evangelist or preacher, you need to balance out the sermons so they were not all of one kind. The author states that his dad's philosophy has always been to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Good idea. You got to get us out of our comfort zone sometimes, don't you? Number four, be consistent on improving yourself as an evangelist. The emphasis has always been on has to be on the Bible. Have you ever heard a sermon preached and never heard a scripture mentioned the whole time? I know I have. It's all right to have a sermon that makes us feel good at times, but it doesn't need to have. But we need to have sermons that convince, change, and comfort and call the hearers. A preacher doesn't need to leave everyone feeling guilty either. The job of the evangelist is to have a balance in his preaching. That takes a lot of practice to know your audience and to know what is needed in your congregation. Especially as you have such a diverse congregation, that we have people living all over the place here who come from different areas. It's hard to know what everybody needs. You can't always go real deep into it because we have new babes in Christ and they won't understand a word. But then again, you can't always coddle that either. So, do what? Exactly. Put the hay down where the calves and the cows get it. You got it. So it's practice to know what and how to present. So it takes proper preparation and constant goal of improving his delivery. Do you think the Lord is happy with a haphazard and careless attitude that comes across with an ill-prepared or shoddy presented sermon? Wouldn't think so. An evangelist or preacher must be convinced that his lessons of the Bible, man's salvation through Christ, is the most important subject of them all. With that in mind, He always must strive to improve his effectiveness in preaching. What the preacher preaches and how he communicates this message profoundly impacts the church, whether it's uplifting or downtrodden. The preacher needs to ask himself, is my preaching killing spirits or preserving souls? Another idea he has here, the preacher is closely watched. Doesn't mean that the preacher should put his family in a fishbowl or a glass house. Doesn't mean that a preacher shouldn't be normal. A preacher has a family to spend time with, time away from the job, hobbies, sports, and other things he likes to enjoy. But one of the worst things that you can do to a preacher is criticize him. Criticism is one of the most often cited sources of discouragement that a preacher has. Some souls will be lost because of constant criticism of the preacher and his family. James 2:13 says, "For judgment is without mercy for the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Somebody read Matthew 18:15-17 for me. We all know this one, I'm sure. Matthew 18:15-17. Alright, so these verses tell us if someone sins against you, you're supposed to go to them, aren't you? That's what the Bible tells us to do. Many times we don't want to do that though, do we? We'll just say, yeah, that's okay. That's not helping anything though, is it? fact is, preachers are watched. Members of the community see him in town. Neighbors watch him in his yard. Church members see him in various places during the week. Old people see him. Little people see him. A lot of people see him. The evangelist. What was Timothy told by Paul? 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, and love, and spirit, and faith, and purity. So a preacher should not be guilty of unchristian-like behavior in any setting. Titus 2:8 reads, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So that's something that a preacher needs to, you know, watch what he says. So people are looking. People are listening to him. And they're ready to jump on him every time he says something that doesn't sound appropriate. Also, Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, things that a preacher should be aware of also. These are the things that Paul told Timothy as a preacher, but these are the things that all Christians should do, not just the preacher. Another thing that Neil pulls out is the preacher is trusted. Woe to the preacher that violates the trust placed in him by God and man. Being a faithful gospel preacher includes being trustworthy. What does 1 Thessalonians 2:4 say? But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Preachers should be aware of the following traps that terminate his trust. And he's got about six things listed here. First one, being intimate or indiscreet with a woman other than his wife. Being lazy and robbing God and the church of time that belongs to them. Being unethical in business practices. Engaging in any sinful habit or form of entertainment. Engaging in gossip about church members. Causing strife and division, disrupting church harmony. And there's others we can list, but we won't go into that. The list also applies to all members of the congregation, not just the preacher. But as the church's front man, as he called him, the preacher's lack of circumspection and discretion in behavior and ethics can be much more damaging than other members who engage in similar behavior. Have you ever been to a congregation where the preacher was caught doing something that he shouldn't? I have. It ruins his reputation, doesn't it? What's it do for the local congregation? Sometimes it's years before they get over that. So, as a preacher, it's a great responsibility. Something you don't take lightly. But also, he puts down drawn to Calvary. Preachers who serve as good role models, who work hard, who show interest in the members, who do not forget their families, who live what they preach, can build up a local congregation in a great way. Young men will watch the preacher and want to emulate him. The loss of the community and non-Christian friends of members will be drawn to Calvary through his godly influence. So let's make it practical. Congregations should train men to preach. We're fortunate here, we have a good number of men who will stand in the pulpit when when Larry is not here. So we have several members that are able to do that. And as a congregation, we ought to be training others to do the same thing. Another thing he points out is congregation should let the preacher know that he is appreciated. I think as elders, we're very thankful to have Larry here. We don't have to watch with intent to make sure that he doesn't preach something that's not the truth. It should be the greatest way we can show our appreciation for the preacher to put his lessons into practice in our lives. And I'm always happy to see fellow Christians following things that are pointed out in the sermon. I'm always happy to do that. Happy to see that. Congregations should avoid the following confidence busters for the preacher. Lifeless singing, or singing without effort or enthusiasm, kills a preacher's momentum as he's preparing to preach. I don't know about you, but I've been in congregations where the invitation, I thought I was never going to get through it. That doesn't do a whole lot. You've got a great sermon, and then your song just kills it because it's just very slow. What does the Bible say about how Christians should sing? 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So singing slow without any feeling, you're not singing with the Spirit, are you? Not at all. Chattering among young folks, conversations with middle age, show a lack of respect or interest in God's Word. In the congregation I grew up with, this was in Ohio, so I understand the Catholics, we were surrounded by that also. The preacher that I grew up with, the teenagers usually sat like back over here, about three quarters of the way. And if he saw them talking and they didn't stop, he would stop and look straight at them until they started, until they didn't talk anymore. Got their attention. So if he'd be right in the middle of a sermon, all of a sudden, nothing. And they look up and he's looking straight at them. I don't think Larry has ever done that. But that's something. Apparently we had some mischievous teenagers. I was not one of them. I learned from example. I knew what not to do. But anyway, shuffling in half past the start time or leaving before the lesson over, discourages the preacher also. Understand that circumstances prevent us from getting to worship on time, but constantly coming in late shows that you don't have much respect for God's Word. If you want to hear God's Word, I think you'd want to hear the whole lesson myself, or the whole Bible lesson. Another one is, you know, he says constant popping up, popping out, popping in, effectively disrupts the flow and congregation of the preacher. If you're sitting here and you see people going, coming and going, that has to be a distraction. It really does. Understand, you know, there are times when this can't be prevented. You have a child or something that needs some attention. Or as I'm getting older, things don't always cooperate, and I have to get up and leave, but I try to keep that at a minimum. Not like I do that every Sunday. What I really dislike, and this is my opinion, is when the invitation is being asked and people are walking out. To me, that is not a good time to be walking out, because I'm thinking, if someone here is contemplating becoming a Christian and you distract them from doing that day, and they leave without doing that, how is God happy with you at that point? So that's the one thing that really, if you want to say bugs me, that's one of them. You see whole families file out when the invitation is being asked. Think about that. I don't know anybody here that does that, but that's just one of the things that I just have to say myself. Yeah. Well, I'm addressing this for the elders' perspective too. Right. What would you do with preachers at the middle of the sermon? Yeah, exactly. And I think that is on the parents to help curb that too also. I mean, if you let your kids get up and down during the sermon, I don't know that we ever did that. If they got up, they were either sick or something was badly wrong. And as a parent, I wouldn't let that happen. You know, you're here before God to hear His word. So we need to listen intently because our souls are at stake. He talks about someone who regularly finds their chins hitting their chest or worse, snoring during the sermon. I've had that. I've seen that before too. And I understand some medications do that. I've been on some of those. But it is a little embarrassing to wake up and know that you've missed half the sermon. Or listeners who use their Bibles as armrest, fan, or floor decor, portray someone who's disinterested in what the preacher has to say. Or how about those who let the preacher know how long a sermon's lasted or went overtime? I think of Acts 27. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Would you stay here in the midnight listening to Larry? Listening to the Word of God? Or we have so many other things in our lives that we don't have time. The thing I ask, you don't want to be here with your fellow Christians? Why not? What do you think heaven's going to be like? We'll all be together, singing, praising God. If you can't do it here, I don't know how you think you're going to get by to heaven and not do that either. Again, these are my opinions. Before we had our screens and everything, song books, zip! Sound like everything coming out, right? You could always tell when the invitation was getting ready to go because people started whipping their song books out. Is that a little distracting? Yes, it is. Very distracting. How about those who criticize a preacher's sermon when he finishes? This doesn't show much love if every time you're critical of what the preacher says in the sermon. Somebody read James 3:3-12 for me, if you would. James 3:3-12. Alright? So the tongue, we have to watch what we say, don't we? Watch what you say to the preacher, the evangelist. We're sometimes quick to criticize a preacher without thinking how we sound. We need to always have a Christian attitude when speaking to the preacher, or just to each other. Sometimes I hear the excuse, oh, well, that's just me. Well, would you talk to Jesus like that? You're talking to one of His children, aren't you? Well, be careful what you say. Well, I hope this lesson helped us to know what is expected from our evangelist and preacher. I hope we tell Larry how much he's appreciated with being here with us. Any comments? I think our time's about up, I believe, isn't it? Yes. Well, that's all biblical subjects, so there shouldn't be nothing held back when you're preaching the gospel. Any comments, anything else? Thank you for your attention. Okay. I got the announcement.